I'm Femi Oke. Today on the stream, we're talking about the Congo Basin. That is the location of the world's second largest rainforest. It is also home to tropical peatlands, the world's largest tropical peatlands. It is a carbon sink, which means that it absorbs carbon dioxide rather than creates carbon dioxide, and also the natural habitat for gorillas. Soon to be also the site for gas and oil prospectors. Take a look.
With an estimated potential of 22 billion barrels of oil in three major sedimentary basins and 66 billion cubic meters of methane gas in Lake Kivu, DRC is a new destination of investments for oil and gas companies. From 28 to 29 July 2022, the Hydrocarbons Ministry of DRC will organize a bidding round for exploration and production rights on 27 petroleum blocks and 3 gas blocks in Lake Kivu. International and national oil and gas companies are invited to join the event. DRC is a new destination for investments. Welcome to DRC.
Today's show, is the Democratic Republic of Congo putting oil and gas revenues ahead of the global climate crisis? Joining us, we have Simon and Mbong. They're going to give us their expert takes. Nice to have both of you with us. Simon, will you tell our audience what you do?
I'm a scientist. I work on climate change and tropical forests. So I've worked in the Congo Basin for many years now, trying to understand its role in the global climate system.
Good to have you. And Mbong, welcome to the stream. Tell our audience what you do.
Thank you, Femi. I'm a Pan-African and decolonization activist. I think of myself as having a penchant for amplifying the stories of communities speaking up for their rights to a safe and healthy environment and standing up against the greed of big business and the vested interest of governments. And most importantly, I'm head of communications with Greenpeace Africa, which gives me plenty of opportunity to tell those stories.
All right, I'm looking forward to those stories. So audience, viewers watching right now, if you're on YouTube, the comment section is open and available for you. Many of you I know understand the pros and cons of natural resources and fossil fuels. What do you think about the DRC opening itself up for oil and gas prospectors? Put your comments, your questions right here. We did try to involve the DRC government. Let me tell you all of the people that we reached out to. Ministry of Hydrocarbons, the Environment Ministry, the Ministry of Communications, who said, yes, we do want to be on the stream, and then completely ghosted us. But I am so glad that we have Mbong and Simon, because they are right here and wouldn't dream of ghosting us. If you're watching Government of the DRC, comment section of YouTube, please be part of our show. All right, so let's take a look at this area in the Congo Basin where there are opening up auctions and bidding for oil and gas prospectors. If you look around the edge, you see where those red areas are. Those are the areas that are going to be up for bidding right now all the way through to April of next year. Simon, what do you see in that graphic? And Mbong, I'm going to ask you the same thing. What does that say to you there?
Well, to me, it says big problems on the horizon, because those red areas, my team estimate, cover 11 million hectares of tropical rainforest. And obviously all the communities that are living there and all the plants and animals that live there. And within that 11 million hectares, there's 1 million hectares of tropical peatlands, some of the most carbon-dense ecosystems on Earth. And if those areas are opened up, even just to look for oil, then that could open the floodgates to wildlife loss, deforestation, and all sorts of problems for the local communities there.
And Bong, from a community perspective, is this an opportunity for the communities in those areas where there's going to be prospecting, or is it opening up some real problems for them in terms of what their land will look like, what farming will look like, what their livelihoods will look like?
For me, I'll tell you, what I see there is outright carnage by the government of the DRC on its people and, of course, the wildlife. The areas that are marked in red are very rich ecosystems that are housing some of the most pristine national reserves in the DRC, and it's home to millions of people. I think there are over 40 villages just between the Upemba Lake region and the Equator province, which Greenpeace Africa has had the privilege of visiting just before the auctions happened on July 28th. And for these communities, what they see is complete disaster, because you would recall it's over 60 years now, 40 years more to be exact, that some of their lands were already transformed into conservation parks, which meant restrictions to how they could function and how they could operate. And then for the past decades, they've been having to deal with illegal timber exploration and the false promises that came with that. And to know that their lands are up for auction has been a sort of fear, of despair, and outrage for this community. So what I see there, it's nothing but carnage and total disaster for the communities that are living and fending on these lands.
I want to bring into our conversation Alan Ukani. He's a Congolese journalist who's been reporting on this this auction that is happening right now in the DRC. Alan, it's really good to have you. When you're reporting on this, is this a good news story for people in the DRC?
Thank you very much for having me. And I don't think that it may be a good news for the authorities. But, you know, DRC people are a little bit disappointed. They know very well that it's not resources which the government doesn't have to change the situation. As the government is trying to convince people that this will increase, for example, the budget and also the income of the country, it will allow, for example, the country to tackle different situations with the income from this gas, oil, or opening the forest for the foreigners to come inside. In the DRC, when you talk with people, you discuss with the population, you don't feel like people are really warm about the idea, because they know very well that out of the forest, which they love, and also we have thousands, millions of people living, their life depends on forest and also river or the lake, which are also targeted by the government with this project. People, they do know very well that it is not this is all about money for the politician or for a government, but it's not like this will change more something very special in their life. They know very well that this is all about politics and politician trying to tackle some of the different projects for their own interest. So, yes, people are not really, they don't take it as a big story or a big achievement which the government may achieve in the coming days, but they do believe that it's all about money and so on. But the country still have so many capacity to get money in other option, by using other option as well.
All right, so this is interesting, Ellen, because on YouTube, Anne Mbong and Simon, on YouTube there's a conversation about, but the DRC, it needs to be developed. Isn't this a good opportunity to have funds to develop the DRC? Because it isn't at the moment, Mbong.
But
you know,
Ellen, Mbong, Ellen. Ellen, you start, go ahead.
Ellen, go ahead.
Yeah. As journalists, you know, the country, when you go in Katanga region, for example, the DRC people, they all know that we have, for example, enough minerals which will help the country to be developed. If you,
Ellen,
you see,
Ellen,
for example,
remind our audience how many minerals the DRC has.
DRC has the most of, I think, the big reserve of cobalt, for example, in Katanga region. We have right now, the country is trying to open a lithium exploitation in the same area of Katanga. This will be $1 billion income in the country. And also, we have been living with these minerals for years right now, but people still ask me the same question that I was saying previously, what the country did with the money from the minerals. What are we doing with the money from the minerals up to now? It is all about billions that we are talking about here. So it's not like the country doesn't have a capacity. You see.
Yes, Mbong.
Yeah, I think that Alan makes a very good point, Femi, because we need to understand that if selling off resources to the highest bidder was the way for the DRC to improve its economy, to become to look after the interests of its people, as the government has been saying over the past months, definitely the DRC will be a G7 nation by now. But that approach A very neo-colonial approach of extraction and shipping out of the country has failed persistently. And I'm happy Alain Min mentioned a bit about the reactions on the ground, because that is exactly what our teams also found out when they were visiting some of the villages and the communities that will be affected by this oil auction. It is complete outrage, because they know that government after government, they've been given promises of how selling off the forest would make life better, selling off the cobalt and all of the other minerals would transform their lives. But those promises have never delivered. And it's going to be the same thing. 10 years after this oil pipelines are buried and the oil shipped out of the DRC, it will be the same situation. It will be hardship and further despair for communities who are living life now, depending on the lakes for fishing, depending on their forest for food. And all of that will be taken away from them.
Simon, I want to share a video with you, and it goes back to, there's two clips side by side. So one is November 2021, and this is at COP. And then we go to July 2022, which is in Kinshasa, where the auction begins. The same person is in both of these clips. It's President Félix Tshisekedi. And in one, he is promising to preserve the rainforest. In the other one, he's offering up little slots of land for people to prospect in them. Same suit, different message. Let's take a look.
The forests of the Congo Basin represent the second lung of the world and contribute largely to the regulation of the global climate balance. However, this vast forest is exposed to the risks of deforestation. In the framework of the effective implementation of the Paris Agreement, it is imperative to take into account the mitigation of these risks, as otherwise a major ecological crisis could result. In a win-win partnership that respects environmental standards and the interests of local communities, with these words, I am delighted to solemnly launch today the bidding process for 27 oil blocks and 3 gas blocks.
What happened, Simon?
Well, who knows exactly what happened? And obviously, it's up to the Congolese government to decide how to manage its different obligations internationally and nationally. But what I find so shocking about this, and it shocks the international community, is that this oil auction was announced very hastily and with no environmental or social or other impact assessments of what the impact might be of this oil exploration. And that is, I think, just anti-democratic to push this onto the Congolese people without having done the underlying work and presented to the Congolese people. These are the likely impacts of going down this route versus the likely impacts of going down another route. How can anyone make a sensible decision about whether this is a useful way to go or not? And I think that's because, really, they know deep down that this is not a sensible way to go. And I think, crucially, what a lot of people miss in this debate is that nobody knows how much oil is there. There might be none that's commercially viably extractable. So there may be a case where people put in very low bids, the government makes very little money, but then they open up the forest to go and do the oil prospecting and let in the commercial hunters, and that's the end of all the animals, the illegal commercial loggers, and that's the end of the big trees. And then it's this opened up, degraded forest that is very easily slated for outright deforestation. So you could have millions of hectares of deforestation in the heart of the Congo Basin for even no benefit financially to the Congolese government. This is entirely unthought through and really needs a reassessment, which is why I was very glad that the U.S. government's recent visit to DRC said that they were very unhappy about the speed that this was happening and without all the safeguards and checks in place, and that there needed to be a slowdown and to do all the studies before thinking about going ahead with this plan.
Let me play. That was the Secretary of State Antony Blinken in the DRC quite recently, as Simon was saying. I'm just going to play for our audience what he said, and there's some key points in there, Simon. So let me share them with our audience first of all.
Back at COP26, the world made a collective pledge of $1.5 billion to support the Congo Basin's forest. So in that context, we had concerns about the announcement of the auction of these oil and gas exploration blocks. We agreed to work together to establish a formal working group to help Congolese achieve a balanced approach to responsible development of the country's resources that contributes to Congo's economic growth and to generating jobs. By conserving irreplaceable forests and other ecosystems, and by undertaking development projects only after carrying out rigorous environmental impact assessments, the DRC can act on behalf of all the world's people to protect our shared home.
Let me ask you a few questions, as our audience are watching on YouTube and they want to ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you the quick questions, and I need quick answers so we can cover a lot of territory. Okay, Shivansh says, the pursuit of eco-friendly endeavours is different for Africans. Ellen, what do you make of that?
Come again on the question.
The pursuit of eco-friendly endeavours is different for Africans. Do Africans have a different approach to the environment, sustainability, preserving their rainforest than other regions, other countries, other continents?
Yeah, it's different. This is exactly also the case with the DRC. When I was coming in in the debate, I found my colleague talking about the situation in the park, for example. Today, if you take, for example, the priority for the DRC while they are preparing to open this forest, you see, for example, the priority normally should be something else, because we have this big park which is supposed to be open. But this is one of the parks that the country need to use it for tourism, but they are unable, first of all, to provide even security for tourists in this park to provide money for the country. And nothing is really guaranteed today that even these people who will be working on this oil project in this park will be secure, or this will create another insecurity issues in the region. If you take, for example, the problem which are generated around the oil in the region, you take the Niger or Delta, for example, you know how many groups of gangs have been created around these issues of petrol in Nigeria. And you take the case now in the eastern of the earth, the most of part of this petrol block are located in eastern, where you have more than 150 armed group in the region. And all these people will be turning now, they are turning around minerals, and tomorrow they will be turning around these petrol issues. This is exactly the problem that people should think about, because we are already unable to secure the forest, and now we need to open the petrol. Then the priority is not the same, but it is the same issue.
Shivansh is an African. He's coming to it from an African's perspective. Yeah. It's a complex conversation. All right, I'm going to bring in Serge. Serge is from the Rainforest Alliance for the DRC. He's a country director. Mbong, I was wondering, as I was thinking about this prospecting or opening up the Congo Basin for potential oil and gas exploration, I was wondering about, does the DRC government have any environmentalists in it at all? And then Serge came forward with this positive spin. Let's have a listen.
DRC government is making a lot of effort to preserve DRC forests and also their rich biodiversity. It also took engagement to not exploit oil in Sarunga area. As a result of this engagement, Sarunga National Park has been removed from World Heritage Endangered Sites. This engagement must be maintained.
Mbong, that's the most positive voice I've heard in this entire conversation so far.
Femi, that's a positive voice, which isn't positive, actually, because you know that there are 13 protected areas overlapping the areas that are up for auction for oil and gas exploration. So to say that the DRC government has done its due diligence, it's faulty. It's nothing but faulty. In addition to that, there is no way we can sit here and say that the DRC government is doing its best, because even before the oil auctions came on, when we announced, there have been case after case of illegal forest concessions being granted by one minister after the other. And as Alain mentioned at the beginning, it's really about every member of the elite thinking of how to enrich themselves as soon as they can before they leave power. And I think that's what is happening with the oil block auctions as well. Yeah. It is nothing. There's nothing environmentally friendly. We know that no environmental impact assessment was conducted. And that is the least you do before going ahead with a project like this, if you really care about the environment.
So Joan on YouTube, Simon, I'm going to share this one with you because I sometimes think about this at big convenings like COP, particularly COP26, where the developed world had a stance and the developing world did not necessarily have a big enough seat at the table. So Jonah says no one in Africa can tell the United States where to drill for oil, but they seem, I'm going to finish the sentence of thought here, they seem to think that they can tell Africans what to do with their natural resources. Thoughts, Simon?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's a real problem, the global imbalance of power. And for me, as a scientist, what we should be providing is the information. And then the Congolese people and the Congolese government can make the best decisions with the best available information. It shouldn't be for people from outside to make those decisions. But we do have to remember that we live in a very globalized world now. And that should be to the benefit of DRC and its forests. Now, we all know about novel diseases from COVID-19. And there are novel diseases, no doubt, in the depths of the Congo forest. And opening up for oil exploration and having people go in there and come out regularly increases the likelihood of another one of these novel diseases spreading around the world. And the cost of that to people and the cost of that to the global economy would vastly outweigh any income from the oil and gas. So it is incumbent, not only the United States and Europe and other places, to tell Congo how to develop, but they should be helping as much as possible about how they can develop in new ways and not the ways of the past, which is essentially providing raw materials to the West. There has to be a different way forward.
And Wong, Alain, I know you're familiar with this, but as Africans, we often talk about the natural resources curse. But I actually think it's not really about natural resources, it's about leadership. I mean, maybe the corruption curse. No. So Scott Pegg, he's a professor of political science, and I think he sort of, I was going to say, he named the gorilla in the room, which is very appropriate for this conversation. This is what he told us earlier.
Oil revenues could generate billions of dollars of revenues for the Democratic Republic of Congo's government that it could potentially use to provide infrastructure to help the poorest in the country. However, Congo's track record of doing this with its mining revenues is atrocious.
Congo's record of using its resources, the wealth of its resources, is atrocious. Could it change? Could 2023 be different, Alain?
It's very tough to know which will be, whether it will be different. The problem is the political class.
We've just lost Alain's microphone there. So there's one question left, Simon. It's just the very end of this conversation, because we're talking about the world's second last rainforest being a carbon sink and what it brings to us as a global community. In a sentence, can you sum that up so we don't forget what we might be disturbing if we prospect in that area?
Sure. The Congo Basin is removing around 1.5 billion tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere every single year. Mm-hmm. That's what it's doing to help humanity, of which the DRC government and DRC people currently get no finance from that.
Okay.
And that has to change. We have to recognize what an important place this is.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Mbong.
Femi.
And thank you, Alain. And thank you for all your comments and questions on YouTube as well. Excellent questions. Appreciate you. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.